Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. After that, under the shadow of a banyan tree in an uninhabited forest, I began to meditate upon the super soul situated within, using my intelligence as I had learned from liberated souls. Purport. One should not meditate according to one's personal whims. One should know perfectly well from the authoritative sources of scriptures, through the transparent wire medium of a bona fide spiritual master, and by proper use of one's trained intelligence for meditating upon the super soul dwelling within every living being. This consciousness is firmly developed by a devotee who has rendered loving service unto the Lord by carrying out the orders of the spiritual master. Sri Naradaji contacted bona fide spiritual masters, served them sincerely, and got enlightenment rightly. Thus he began to meditate. So I'd like to seek the blessings of all the assembled Vaishnavas, especially all the senior devotees here, and that I can speak something in, hopefully in glorification of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And please bless me that I don't deviate from the actual meaning of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and I'll try to reflect on what is being said by Srila Narad Muni and by Srila Prabhupada in the purport. Hare Krishna. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitan Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam rupa gadamayam dadati svabadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Uta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sakrajatam Sahagana Ragunatanvitam Tam Sachivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Darubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Bhasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, I'll just briefly recap from the pastime that is taking place. This is right here, Narad Muni is explaining his previous life when he took birth as the son of a maidservant in the house of a wealthy brahmana, and Narad Muni is saying that his at some point during the Chaturmasya season, which is right now actually, there was a group of saintly people Bhaktivedantas. They came to his home and he was serving them along with his mother. He used to serve them prasad and take care of all their needs. And by their association, he actually developed a desire for pure devotion, to Krishna. And then finally, after the rainy season, these Bhaktivedantas left, and this little boy was trying to carry out the instructions that he heard from these Bhaktivedantas, and by meditating on the Supersoul. And his mother was very accommodating for him, and she was trying to give him as much time as possible for his spiritual practice. And at some point, she went out for some service, and she got bitten by a snake. And for this little boy, obviously, in the normal case, that would be a very tragic experience, which it definitely was, but this little boy had already a very strong mood of renunciation developed in his heart, and then he saw this as the mercy of Krishna, and he left this place, understanding that he doesn't have any responsibilities there, and he went traveling through the towns and valleys, and especially mentioned that he traveled up north in the mountains. And so this is a just very interesting point that a devotee, the devotion service can be executed in any situation of life, in any position we may be. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually says that there is no need to change one's particular situation because Krishna consciousness is an internal process, and any external aspects of life, they can be molded in such a way that they can increase our devotion to Krishna. However, from another viewpoint, there are certain things which may be, certain situations which may be more conducive for spiritual practice than others. And for example, here, these Bhaktivedantas, it is very clearly visible that they were traveling, they were Parivrajakacharyas, and their sole occupation was to discuss and preach Krishna consciousness from the Shastra, discuss the Shastra. And we obviously have, you know, the Varnashram system, which facilitates all the human beings, in different walks of life, to give them a facility to develop the mode of goodness, to have a lifestyle in the mode of goodness, in which we can actually then make a steady progress in a spiritual direction. But Krishna obviously knows best what is most conducive and what the person is ready for. So in this case, Krishna actually took away all his connections, his worldly connections with, you know, his mother and this particular landholder, and gave him the facility to actually do whatever he wants. So for some of us, this may not be an ideal situation, because we have certain conditionings, certain needs, and we may need some stability in life, to whatever the extent that may be. And for sincere practitioner, Krishna makes the arrangements, Krishna makes the adjustments in our life, obviously with our endeavor as well, that we are in the perfect situation where we can progress the best. So in Shrishta Upanishad, there's a statement of six activities which are conducive for spiritual progress, and the six activities which are not very conducive or rather detrimental to Krishna consciousness. And one of them is to give up the association of non-devotees, or give up bad association, things, this type of association which leads us away from Krishna. So now, we could, looking at this verse, we could say that Jai Shishi Radha Gokul Nanda Ki Jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Shishi Konitai Ki Jai. Looking at this verse, you could say that the easiest way to overcome bad association is to just give up all association and just go into a secluded place like he was doing here. So, but does anyone have a suggestion why we don't follow this example of this boy? Anyone? Adam Prue? Okay, so Prabhu is saying that if we are in the association of devotees, then the devotees, they're like mirrors. They're reflecting our anartas, and anartas come out, and thus we're forced to actually face these anartas and try to purify them. While if we're alone, then there is no one to tell us that, hey, what are you doing there? So that's the reason. So, however, Srila Prabhupada is saying here that this consciousness is firmly developed by a devotee who has rendered loving service unto the Lord by carrying out the orders of the spiritual masters. So someone who has already developed a certain level of advancement, he still wants the association of devotees, right? But he doesn't need so much. He doesn't need other people to kind of correct him, things like that. So anyway, in this case, he actually didn't have any other choice. There was no other devotees around, and he had the choice to either stay at home or to travel. So it seems that that his situation was more conducive to just travel and search for spiritual enlightenment. Now, Srila Prabhupada is pointing out one very essential aspect of this verse, which is that spiritual practice has to be performed according to the instructions of liberated souls. It's not something that we just make up according to our conditionings. And this is a very common thing that even amongst devotees, obviously, as well, but that we try to practice Krishna consciousness according to our conditionings. There are three sources of knowledge that one can have. One is through the senses, through direct sense perception. One is through the mind, which is called Anuman. And there is Shabda, hearing from authorities. And we know that being in the conditioned state of consciousness, we have four types of faults, which are, you know, imperfect senses, cheating propensity, making mistakes, illusion. Here they are. So the senses, they may help us to perceive, you know, few things, and generally they're very helpful to kind of function in this world. But to achieve higher knowledge, transcendental knowledge, it's not sufficient. And then Anuman, trying to understand things with our mind, with speculation, mental or even, you know, philosophical speculation, it's also not the perfect way to get knowledge or to receive instructions. The perfect way is Shabda, through the authorities. Because who's an authority? Is someone who has already realized the knowledge. Someone who has already realized knowledge in a particular field. And in this regard, obviously, the knowledge of self-realization. So, this little boy, being very simple, he just took whatever he heard from the Bhaktivedantas and he applied it. And it's very simple, you know, in one sense. I began to meditate on the super soul situated within. So we have some understanding of our position in the material world, who we really are, and what is our relationship with Krishna. And then it makes it much easier to understand the process. He said that if one knows the goal, the prayojana, then the sambandha actually makes a lot of sambandha, actually, you can understand your relationship. And so it all makes sense. And then obviously you go to Abhideya, to practice devotional service. So we have to kind of draw a line between where we are at and where we want to go. Now another... another thing is also in terms of association, because Narad Muni was in his previous life, he had a lot of association for 4 months of liberated souls. So association is association. Sadhu Sangha. It actually means the association which is based on things related to Krishna. And obviously we have the 9 primary processes of devotional service, of which hearing and chanting are foremost. And therefore, Sankirtan, congregational glorification of Krishna, is actually the most potent process of sadhu sangha. because you have hearing and you have chanting involved. So either chanting in the kirtan or in Harinam, or discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, and because sometimes we take this, you know, kind of this word sadhu sangha, or as a good association of devotees, we take it a little bit, it's a little bit vague sometimes, the way we apply it. We think that, you know, maybe we just, you know, sit together and have a good time, or, you know, let's just chill out. You know, it's said that there are six loving exchanges between devotees, sharing prasad, sharing gifts, and inquiring confidentially, revealing one's mind confidentially. But these things have to be connected with the limbs of devotional service, primary limbs of devotional service. And also sometimes we may have an intention to you know, we may have a positive intention to do service together, or to, you know, discuss even Krishna consciousness together, to have a philosophical discussion. And sometimes if we don't get it quite right, it may just turn out sour, because of certain, you know, false ego is always there as well. So there are certain, you know, there are certain things which we kind of have to adjust when we're in the association of devotees. And there's one devotee, Krishna Dharma Prabhu, he did a lot of research about this, how to actually have association of devotees without having that, you know, type of, you know, sour, bitter aftertaste. Because sometimes, you know, there's differences of opinions, or, you know, there's some disagreements, there's some, you know, sometimes we make mistakes, and then, so, you know, one thing is that when we discuss Krishna consciousness, we should try to avoid to just make it into a debate, for example. Now, debating is in one sense is a good thing, because then you learn to defend your side. You learn to, it's good for preaching. But but in general, a discussion of Krishna consciousness is supposed to be relishable, Santicha, Ramanticha. And so, another thing here is that Krishna consciousness is a process which requires some introspection. It requires some intelligence. He's saying that using my intelligence as I had learned from liberated souls. So we do take instructions from authorities, from senior devotees, from our spiritual master, from the Shastra, but then it still requires some intelligence. How do we actually apply it? How can we actually implement it in order to overcome our particular conditionings? Because all of us have, you know, different issues in our life, different issues, you know, in our mind. So it does require a little bit intelligence, and, you know, Krishna does give intelligence if we ask him. So these are just some of the aspects here described which help us to execute Krishna consciousness, and the examples are all there in the Srimad Bhagavatam from great personalities like Narad Muni and Srila Vyasadeva and all these great rishis, these great kings. So all these examples are given. And in particular, I'd just like to come back to this point that we see that all these great personalities, these great exemplary the Vaishnavas, they don't make abrupt, like acute changes in their life. Like they may have, for example, you know, they may be a king, ruling a kingdom, having so many responsibilities, or in his particular case, he was just the son of a maidservant. So his responsibility was to take care of his mother, ultimately. And we see that pure devotees, they depend on Krishna to make the adjustment in their life, which is conducive, because we understand that all the different things that go on in this world, they are ultimately also sanctioned by Krishna, and they're Krishna's energy. So a devotee doesn't disregard these things as just, oh, this is, you know, some material thing. So we actually accept, oh, this has come to me, this situation has come to me, and then we deal with it, and we pray to Krishna for guidance how to progress from there. So if there's any questions or comments, corrections, please. Hare Krishna.